want you to turn to Psalms 100, if I can find it. Me. You know, this week is a week of showing our thankfulness to the people that we know, the people that we see, and the people that we expect, that we speak to. But I thank the Lord. I did not have to do anything. I did not have to do anything at all to be saved. Because I say I wasn't looking for Jesus. But Jesus was looking for me. And he found me by the Holy Spirit of God. And it says right here in Psalms 100, in verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the neighbors, unto the co-workers." No. "Unto the Lord." Anytime that we give a praise or shout out, it should be toward the Lord because of what he's done for each one of us. And it's nothing that I could have done for my own self. And not only that, it's nothing that I could have done to even merit his favor and his goodness toward me. He didn't have to save me. He didn't have to. But he knew if he didn't, that he was going to have to go back on his father's promise. Where his father promised that in the Old Testament, that my son has been born, and my son's going to give his life, and my son is going to be accountable to me. See, Jesus Christ, he's accountable to God. And the Holy Spirit is accountable to Jesus. And each one of them has got their own specific job to do, their duties. And their well-being for our lives. And I think that is by the Holy Spirit of God that I can say today that I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. And I'm going to get on that final flight. Some people out here, I don't think they can say that. Oh, they say, yeah, I'm saved and everything. I wonder if they really do think if they're saved. Because being saved is a love relationship. To who? To God. See, in spite of everything that I was doing, everything that I had ever done in my life, until I got saved. I mean, I couldn't pay for it. I could not even start even thanking the Lord for just taking that particular sin away. Because I'd still been thanking Him. I'd still be on the altar. But I am so thankful that I had the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, He just come up and, I mean, I tell you what now. I don't know if anybody's ever felt it, but I've been in the pulpit, and it's been a few times, right, that I've stood up there, and I've had the old Holy Ghost come up and He just slapped me upside the face. And He said, get back to it, boy. I tell you what. Now, when the Holy Ghost speaks to you, you got to do what He says do. Not what I want to do, but what He wants me to do. And what the Father wants me to do. In verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with a frown. It says, serve the Lord with gladness in our hearts. Come before His presence with singing. That's the only thing He wants us to do. He wants us to sing to Him. And the song that He wants us to sing to Him is a song of forgiveness for our sins, because we have a whole lot that we are really, we don't bring up. I don't think about it. But when I do think about it, when it comes back to my memory, then I thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord for just blessing me and forgiving me for it. But up until then, I don't know nothing about it. It's just like right down the communion table. This dude, in remembrance of who? Me. John 15:26, I believe it is. But the Comforter, which is that Holy Spirit, He's going to comfort me. He's going to give me joy and peace. If I don't have no joy, it ain't because of the Holy Spirit. If I don't have no peace within my soul, it's not because of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. It's my fault. That's my fault. I got the book that has the answer in it where I can get it from. And I can take that answer. And if I go by the answer that this book gives, it ain't going to be no sadness. It's going to be all gladness. And that's what we need to remember. That the Lord God that we serve, we don't have to be ashamed. But there's a whole lot of people that are ashamed of even telling somebody that they're saved. Or even telling somebody, they even go to church. Now you'd be surprised at how many people you got out here that go to church, but yet they won't tell it. They won't mention it. Why? I think the reason for it is the life that they live. Now, I don't understand how an individual can get saved when the Lord Jesus tells them that he loves them. And the Holy Spirit has already told them that there's somebody that loves you. And you don't have to give up a thing. But yet, they may have fell in love with the idea of knowing Jesus, but they did not fall in love with him. Because when you fall in love with Jesus, you have to fall in love with his church. You have to fall in love with his word. And this right here is the King James. But what it says right in the front part of it, it says, a King James Version. I don't like to use that. I don't like to put that word virgin in there. Because when you do, I just said something that hasn't been changed. It's not completely correct. We are, I know it's some, and the only reason it has the virgin is because of some words that's been changed because of the way it was brought up back then, and when King James was out here had the Bible and writing it out, some of the words that he changed, he changed the spelling. He did not change the meaning. We changed the meaning. But the only thing he changed was maybe one letter in a particular word. Like show. We can think about the word show. And how would you spell show? S-H-O-W. But in the King James Bible, it's spelled S-H-E-W. That's the reason it was changed from just the King James to the King James Version, because they changed that word "shoe," took the E out and replaced it with an O. That reading became a virgin. And as soon as they started that, and putting the King James Version, then the next thing we knew, all the bookstores, all the churches had the Bible of virgins. Now, I was talking to someone last week, no, week before last, and we're just discussing different things and everything. He goes to church and everything, and he told me where he went, and he said he got to leave in a little while to go to church because they had something they was going to do that night. And he said that one thing that admired him was in knowing that he could take the King James Bible, and he says, "Now I did not say virgin," and he says, "And I know what it's speaking about because of the times that the King James had put it out here for us, and the only reason the King James put it out here, he just put it out for us to learn by nobody but the Lord Jesus. I'm not supposed to learn from no man. I'm not supposed to be able to read a chapter in this book and ask man to help me. That's one reason that I did not go to seminary." And some people call it cemetery today, but that's one reason I didn't go, because then I would be going back on God's word. Because I would be going to a seminary, listening to another professor or another teacher and what they say. And 9 times out of 10, a whole lot, now not all people, and not all preachers, not all pastors, they go ahead and go to the seminary. They take up, and then they take the word from the professor and stick with that. No, they stick with the word of God. They stick with the Holy Ghost. But if you don't have it, if the only thing I've got to depend on is that professor that I went to seminary and he just taught me how to maybe outline a message or help me outline this or that or tell me something about, well, this one verse, it says this, but really, that's not what it's saying. How can I put something else in that if that's all it says? Make a joyful noise. You got some people out here, you got some preachers out here, and that will do everything they can to pump up the congregation. They'll pump it up to the point that where the congregation would be, they would be shouting, there will be things that's going on within the service that's not of God. And I'm not saying everything like it is not of God, because well, bless Pat, we have one individual. He's come down here 2 or 3 times and visited during revival and Jubilee and everything. And I've had preachers that is in the congregation who is having a revival,
or having something else and somebody else would be speaking, and I would notice the evangelist, and I don't think they, we don't do it to try to pick someone out. But we have taken that point and picking somebody else out and saying, well, you know, man, I tell you one thing, boy, Lord, do a little of him. I mean, he's definitely in the conviction. And he needs to get saved. I've done preaching. I've done it myself. The first time I ever seen Brother Gene Morgan was at Community Baptist Church. First time I'd ever seen him. And he was singing in the choir, plus two, he led the songs too there when the regular choir director went out. And he assumed as he gets the word out of the song, the very first word comes out. You'll hear him, and he starts snubbing. He starts, he's getting happy. He's getting happy inside. And he said, I'm not gonna let it embarrass me. He says, I used to let it embarrass me, but I don't no more. Now I'll tell you something else too. Now his mother, she's dead. She's gone now, but she's in heaven. But boy, the first time that I ever heard her sing was Gene Morgan. I mean, it was a blessing to my soul. She couldn't even occur to him. She could not even, sometimes she wouldn't even pronounce a word correctly. But she'd be up there. And she'd be singing. But when she sing a song talking about the old gray hat, she pointed up here, she said, it is. She loved the Lord. She really did. And she didn't care how the people thought of her and her singing. Because she said, I ain't singing for you anyhow. I'm singing to my Father. And that's the truth. If we don't watch it, we can get to the point to where we will be bringing about something that don't even have no part in the service at all. You know what I? And it's been a while since I've seen it. But I love to go to some of the churches where they have revivals and they have the elderly there and the young people there. But yet, when the elderly, when they there and they love the Lord, they're going to have that handkerchief in their hand They're going to say, woo-wee! Hey, I love that, praise the Lord. Some people say, why did they do that? I said, they've given God all the praise and all the glory. They're going to wave at him. Hallelujah. I said, even the Holy Spirit waves at him. He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, you see that tree out there moving? You see them limbs on that tree moving? You see the leaves falling? It's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is going to do his job, and we need to do our specific job, what he's called us to do. And what has he called us to do? He has called us to be a witness for the sake and he's called us not to be ashamed of telling people that we know somebody else that loves them more than I can ever think that I could love someone. Now I love my wife dearly. And I love my daughter dearly. And I know that they love me. But see, my love for them don't even come to even fathom what the love that God shows upon them. As much as I love them, I couldn't keep them out of hell. Only Jesus Christ could do that. And they love me, and I know that they love me. But even with their love toward me, we're both with them now. There's two. My wife Shelby and my daughter Christy. There's two of them there that I know that loves me. But even though putting all of their love together into one bundle, it's still not going to do nothing for me. The only thing he's going to do for me is kind of help me maybe with I may be down, have me a pity me party, and they'll come in the back in my room and they'll see where I look like I'm so sad, it's pitiful. I'm maybe then got a bucket of persimmons and ate them all. But yet, I know they love me. But they can't do anything for me to change the way that I feel inside. The only way that an individual can be changed with inside none other than the three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, I know preachers, and I've been to their church at times, and I've seen where they've left that particular church, and then they get up another pastor now, and the pastor's never brought up the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. He says, because they said he's not holy. I mean, that's what they actually say. That God is not holy. God is holy. He's so holy that he saved my soul to make me holy. And that's the only reason I can say that somebody can look at me in my life and say, well, I believe he's an individual that has been called by God. And he's doing the service of God. And I honestly believe within my own self, if I'm wrong, I'll have to answer for it. But he's holy. How can anyone say that? How can anyone say that about me? Or even about you? You know how they can? With one word. And that's our testimony. You know, we take the word testimony, we use it, and we know people that use it in different ways. They use a testimony on maybe the type of work they do or the type of job that they're doing. But that's not it. The only thing about this job, it's a job, J-O-B. And it ain't Job either. And we've got to remember who we love. I'm supposed to love the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to love them three more than I am responsible of my love toward my wife and my daughter. That's in the Word of God. But yet, if you serve God, and if God's that important to you, and you love Him that much, and if you love His Son that much, and if you love the Holy Spirit that much, then there's not nothing you can do about the love, because you're going to love everybody the same. We've got to use the word love more than we ever have before. Because people are hurting. They don't know which way to go no more. And it looks like that we're going to have another lockdown here in the United States. Looks like the schools are going to be closing again. And places of businesses. I mean, and even the grocery stores today has not got caught up compared to what they've been through this year. What's the matter with that? Why are we going through that? It's not because of the Democrats. It's not because of Satan. You know the reason we're going through that? Because of the Christian. The Christian sat back for so long, they allowed all of this to happen. Because, see, what do we say? And what do you normally hear somebody say? Well, if they're talking to me or something like that, that's, well, I ain't but one person. How can I do anything? I ain't but one person. They ain't gonna listen to me. Well, the last time I read the book, I mean, the book says, hey, if it's you and God, you're the majority. And I'll tell you, Malin O'Hara, y'all remember her, don't you? And what she done, she was one individual. She started it, but then she had her followers. The followers wouldn't go out and wouldn't say nothing. Because they didn't want nobody talking about them. They had to have a leader. Everybody, what anybody does, needs some type of leader. And my leader is not Faith Baptist Church. My leader is not the congregation. My leader that I must obey him is God the Father. And as long as I obey him and do what he says do, then I'm going to be okay. But now if I want to mess up, if I really want to mess up my life, then don't do what God's asked you to do. We really want God to bless our life. We need to do what he's asked us to do because he saved us from the deepest part of hell. And this is a gulf fixed between heaven and hell. Just like the picture you'll see a whole lot of time, you'll see the picture where they got the gulf. They got that gulf fixed right there where it looks like just an open latrine, like maybe a river or water going through it. But you don't see the water. You don't see nothing else in there. You just seen an open ditch. But the thing about it is, then you look towards the Christian side and just see where they have not fallen into no ditch. They have not even come to the point of even thinking about doing something against God. They've kept their faith. And that's one thing that I thank the Lord for. I thank the Lord for bringing me here. Because I've been taught more about faith right here with you people on Faith Baptist Church. I mean, it's sometimes when the stuff that I was going through, yeah, I mean, I thought about that. I just need to just go on and retire. Let y'all get somebody in, because I felt like it. I won't do in y'all just. I won't do in my individual duties. I have felt that way. And I have been to the point that I would be talking to Bill on the phone. And sometimes I don't know if I did or not, but I think I did. I sounded like, that's what I would tell Bill. That we need, y'all need to get together, and I need to talk to Bill. And everything. But when it come right down to it, I couldn't do it. Why? God would not let me. I mean, it's been one rough year for me. Because I ain't been able to do what I know that I could do if I had the legs for it, but I can't do it. I can't even stand up long enough to even go out there at some door and paint a strip of wood. I can't stand it long. But I believe, and if he don't, I ain't gonna blame him. I can't blame him. But I believe the Lord's got something special for each one of you and each one of all of us. I believe that something's going to break loose, and when it breaks loose, we're going to all be amazed. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that we can, yes, we can sing with joy in our hearts. And we can preach with joy and love in our hearts also, Father. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you will take each one of these individuals that's here today. You know what our life is about. You know that they've been faithful to this church. And if they've been faithful in this church because they love this church, then I know that they've done everything that they could to be faithful to you and what you want out of their life. And Father, I ask now that you would be with them this coming week. And Father, be with them through the holidays. And Lord, we do ask you to be with everyone's family, that they can understand what Thanksgiving is all about. And with this Thanksgiving and understanding that, they can understand about the true love the Father that you only can give. Go with them. We pray, Father, that they can be a witness for you. And Father, help them that they'll brag a little more about you. And Father, that they will not be ashamed. Father, because sometimes we say, well, we are not, I'm not going to be ashamed. But then the next thing we do, we'll meet somebody. And we know they're not in church. It's a good possibility that they're not even saved. But yet, we wait. And we wait. We're still right there. We're still talking to them, but we wait. And we wait. Until somebody calls us. Or somebody calls them, and we have to be separated. That word separation can mean a whole lot of different things. But to a Christian, that word separation should mean that we could be separated from you. But I'm so thankful. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. I thank you for the touch that you've touched me with. And Lord, if you don't do nothing else for me, I cannot complain. I still got to give you thanks for it. And help this church, that this church may be able to grow with the love of the people that love you, Father. And we pray, God, that you'll be with us. Lead, guide, and direct us until the next appointed time. And we meet. Thank you. We love you. Amen. And amen.